and for his topic, Joseph. Joseph. So we're going to see what lesson can be learned from the life and times of Joseph. Brother Leon.
Thank you, Brother Jim. I'm sorry, dear friends, I'm a little shook up. I'm a little overcome with emotion at the moment. It's because Sister Barbara and I have been with you for approximately 3 months in this area. To love you very dearly. We will be leaving in the morning. And we will take with us many fond memories. Getting to our lesson this afternoon, the life of Joseph. But before we begin, we're going to be reminded of another text that Paul wrote to the Romans. He pretty much writes what he wrote in 1 Corinthians that we began our lesson yesterday with. And that's in 1 Romans, the 15th chapter, and the 4th verse. Excuse me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Things that were recorded in the Old Testament recorded for us for a particular purpose. Because in them is woven gems of truth that only you and I and the saints this side the veil have been able to have the privilege of understanding and appreciating. The fine thread of promise of blessing all the families of the earth. We begin our lesson with Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and the 15th verse. And remember, this is given when Abraham, in his old age, laughed that God promised him a son, and that all the families of the earth would be blessed. You'd make a great nation of his seed. And he's an old man now. Now he's got his only son. And the Lord asked him, Moses, I want you to, or Abraham, I want you to sacrifice this son to me. And we read in the 15th verse of the 22nd chapter, and the angel of the Lord called Abraham out of the heaven a second time, and he said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee and multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sands which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. This is repeated to Isaac. Only he's just quoted the stars of heaven class. And after that, only a portion is quoted to Jacob. And to Jacob, he repeats. But before he gives the blessing to Jacob, Jacob dreams of a ladder reaching up unto heaven. And to you and me, it gives the length that will be given so that mankind will be able to have communication with our Heavenly Father through our Lord and Savior, and you and I, if we are faithful to the covenant we have entered into. And he says, "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt be spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south, and in thee and in thy seed shall all families of the earth be blessed." Jacob served 14 years for his beloved wife Rachel when he thought he would have her much sooner. But he served his father-in-law faithfully, and he finally took Leah and Rachel and his children and the animals that they agreed upon, and they're headed toward Canaan. Jacob was concerned for his family because he would be passing through the area where his brother Esau lived, and he feared for his life. He got the birthright. He took the blessing, the promise, but he left behind all his father's wealth. Esau inherited all the wealth that his father had, that he inherited from his father, Abraham. Remember, he was a wealthy man. He sent 10 camels to get Rebekah, laden with jewels. And this was all Esau's now. All Jacob had was the animals and that for which he worked for. Jacob, no doubt, listened to his father, Isaac, concerning the promise that was given to Abraham and to him. And he treasured that. Brethren, this is how you and I should treasure the promise that we have received, that soon the blessing of all the families of the earth is to take place. The world looks upon us. You're going where? For how many days? And what are you going to do there? You're just going to sit and listen to lectures? And they scratched their head. Well, if that's what you like, okay, but it seems rather ridiculous. We're looked upon as foolishness in the eyes of the world. But we have a dream, a promise, that if we are faithful to our covenant, we're going to be able to uplift the world of mankind from this condition of sin and death. By our eye of faith, we have seen how that God has caused the resurrection of a nation that was lost for nearly 2,000 years. And we have the privilege of seeing that. It didn't just happen. God caused it to happen. It cost that people 6 million Jews that lost their lives in Europe But they're not the only ones that suffered. America, European armies, 5-10 million plus another 20 or 30 million Ukrainian that were Stalin slaughtered during World War II. Horrible events. We learned that when finally Joseph is born, we read in Genesis, the 37th chapter, we'll begin with the first verse, and Jacob dwelt in the land wherein his fathers was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. And these are the generations of Jacob, Joseph being 17 years old, was feeding the flocks of his brethren. And the lad was the son of Bilhah. And dropping down to the 7th, to the 5th verse, and Joseph dreamed a dream. And he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray thee, a dream. This dream I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheave rose and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisance to my sheave." And his brethren said unto him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" Earlier he received his coat of many colors, and now he's telling them that in a dream, then they interpreted it to mean that they're going to bow down to him. They're going to be serving him, the youngest. Would have been enough if he would have just, "Okay, they didn't appreciate what I had to say, I better keep quiet," but no. The 9th verse. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and 11 stars made obeisance unto me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come and bow down ourselves to the earth?" And his brothers envied him, and his father observed the saying. Yes, they were really upset and perturbed. "Our younger brother is going to reign over us?" That was like rubbing salt in an open wound to his brethren to make this statement a second time. Yeah. You know what happened then? They sought to murder him. But Reuben heard it, and he wanted to deliver them out of their brother's hands. They found a pit. "Let's throw our brother into the pit, take the coat, pour some animal blood on it, and tell our father he's an animal got him, and we didn't do a thing about it." It didn't quite work that way. Oh, they took the coat and took it to Jacob and told him that wild animal slew him. But we read in the 26th verse of this 37th chapter, "And Judah said unto the brethren, What profit is there if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him. For he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by a Midianite merchant, and they drew and lifted Joseph out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelite for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph to the Egyptians.
Question comes to mind here. Why did they sell him for only 20 pieces of silver? Judas sold our Lord for 30 pieces of silver. He was not a mature human being yet. Not a mature man. He's a boy yet. And no doubt Joseph going into Egypt with the merchant, heart broke, crying. But he was on his way to Egypt. No doubt he yearned for his father's house, the comfort of his father, the special privileges that his father showed him. And no doubt this merchant, we're surmising here, had to prepare this young lad, teach him some of the words of the Egyptians so that he would bring more money in Egypt. And train him up so that he would be profitable for him. And then they reached Egypt. Joseph is brought to Egypt, and we read this in 39 verse 1. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, the officer of the Egyptian, of Pharaoh's captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelite, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. It got to the point where in the sixth verse we read, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Well, we would say, well, that's got to be the end. He's reached a good home. He'll live happily ever after. But after some time, Potiphar's wife, after he's going to be a man, had thoughts that were not particularly pleasing to the Lord or to Joseph. And she accused him of attacking her before her husband, Potiphar. And Potiphar sentenced him to prison. You know, had Potiphar really believed his wife in those days, I don't think Joseph would have been put in prison. It would have been his head. Do away with him. Don't need him around no more. But that's not what happened. Joseph is placed in prison. He must have been a young man that rose above his difficulties, like we have to rise above our difficulties. We don't dwell on what happened yesterday. We can't do anything about yesterday. But today and tomorrow, we can. What can I do today and tomorrow to improve my lot? What can I do to serve my brethren today and tomorrow to encourage to walk in this narrow way? This must have been part of Joseph's character. Sure, he was in prison, but he found favor with the king's guards to be able to go about and assist him bringing food and so on. To find favor. Remember, the chief butler and the baker were in the prison, and they did something, and on the spur of the moment, they were cast in prison. And then we're told that they had dreams. In the 40th chapter, in the 9th verse, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said unto him, In my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossom shot forth, and clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was given into my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave it to Pharaoh's hand. Joseph at this point could have said, Oh, that's an easy dream, but he didn't brag about it. Joseph said unto him, This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, and within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. What a thrill this must have been to the butler to think that I'm going to be restored to my position again. And it so happened that he was. And then the baker, he had a dream also, only to find out that his lot was not so fortunate. He would see death. Joseph told the butler, When you're in Pharaoh's court, remember me before him. Tell him I am here, wrongfully accused. I did no wrong. But the butler forgot about Joseph completely. And we read in the 41st verse, And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by a river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean flesh, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and lean flesh kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. And so Pharaoh awoke. He startled. And then he sleeps again and dreams on a second time. And 7 ears of corn come up out of one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears with the blast of the east wind sprang upon them, and the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. And Pharaoh awoke again, and behold, it was a dream. And Pharaoh orders his magicians and so on to give him the interpretation. And then the butler speaks up. And he spake unto to Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. He should have remembered this sooner, but he forgot. And Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put up in ward in the cap. Captain of the guard of the chief butler, in the 11th verse. And he dreamed a dream one night, and I dreamed them each man according to the interpretation of the dream. And there was there a young man, an Hebrew servant of the captain of the guards, and we told him the interpretations of our dreams, and each man according to the dream he interpreted. And so Pharaoh orders the Joseph in, and they quickly shave him, bathe him, give him change of garments. And Joseph answers to Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And then it's related to Joseph, the dreams. And Joseph interprets it in the 25th verse. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. You know, dear brethren, we have been given the understanding of the Bible through the 6 volumes of the studies of the Scriptures, the Tabernacle Shadows and the reprints. God has given us an understanding of what is happening upon the face of the earth. We know what the end results is. We understand that what Elijah said, the wind, earthquake, and fire. We've seen 2 pass by, and we are approaching fast into the last phase of fire, anarchy. All you need to do is either pick up a newspaper or turn on your television, and so-and-so murdered so-and-so, and a bank held up here, and this house was broken into, and that house person was murdered. Anarchy in our streets. Anarchy in Yugoslavia. Anarchy all over the world in one form or another. Selfishness, jealousy, greed, running rampant. And every nation and people can see what the end result is with the full unleashing of selfishness and greed and jealousy. After Joseph interprets the dream, tells it to Pharaoh, we read in the 37th verse of the 41st chapter, and the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in wisdom, the Spirit of God is? And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all thee this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy words shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. Joseph is just given a 14-year guaranteed contract. He's to buy up the surplus of the crops, of the land. And then the next 7 years, carefully doling it out at a price, making Pharaoh even richer. Yes. These things happened. There are lessons for you and me that we can learn and appreciate and take note of, that we follow faithfully in the covenant which we have entered into. It reminds us to a degree of what the Proverbs said in the 3rd chapter. We'll only read a portion of it, 1-6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Joseph acknowledged the God of heaven, and the God of heaven directed his paths abundantly. Again, in Psalms 37:4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desire of thine heart. Again, Paul in Hebrews, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Joseph, you can say, was chastened very severely, cast into the pit, his brothers selling him for a slave. He rises to heights and honor in Potiphar's house, thrown back in the prison. And now once again, he reigns highly. He's next to Pharaoh. Brethren, this is going to be your course and mine. It's a picture of the church, the trials which we endured, and the testimonies that we heard this afternoon brought tears to my eyes. The experiences that our brethren endure. But remember that if we with them encourage them, and we be faithful to the end of our covenant, we're going to be exalted next to our Heavenly Father, uplifting the world of mankind, feeding them. The drought is on now. Joseph is governor in the land. We read this in the 6th verse of the 42nd chapter. And Joseph was governor over the land, and he it was that sold to the people, to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brethren came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them. And he said unto them, whence come ye? And they said, from the land of Canaan, to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And Joseph remembered the dream which he had dreamed of them, and he said unto them, ye are spies to see the nakedness of our land.
And they pleaded with him. No. They did not want to be accused of being spies. They relate to Joseph that they are the son of one man. Their father is at home with yet a younger brother. We read on the 17th verse, and let's back up a little bit. And Joseph said unto them that I speak unto you, saying, ye are spies. Hereby ye shall be proved by the life of Pharaoh. Ye shall not go forth hence except your younger brother come hither. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother. And ye shall be kept in prison, and your words may be proved whether they are any truth in you or else. By the life of Pharaoh, surely ye shall be our spies. Joseph was making it real rough for them. Notice he did not say, I am Joseph. Remember that dream? Joseph remembered the dream. They didn't. They were totally ignorant of the fact that they were bowing down before Joseph. And threatens to put him in prison. And they plead. And then we read in the 21st verse. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress upon us. Reuben answered them, saying, spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. And they knew not that Joseph understood them. For he spake unto them by an interpreter. Can you imagine how Joseph must have felt? He saw them pleading between themselves and arguing. We did wrong. This is why trouble is upon us. But he still doesn't let himself be known. He wants to see his younger brother. His full brother. And then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and to restore every man's money into the sack and to give them provisions for the way. You know, they put Simeon into prison then. They retained Simeon. Why Simeon? Why not Reuben? Reuben was the eldest. His was the birthright. But remember, Reuben did something, we'll let you look it up what it was, that he forfeited his birthright. And Simeon was in line. He fills the sacks up with the grain and puts the money in each man's sack, and they go on. But Joseph tells them, he wants this, if they return, their younger brother better be with them. Finally, time passes, and the food is getting short again. And Jacob, their father, said unto them, this is the 36th verse, me have ye bereaved of my children. Joseph is not, and Simeon is not. And ye
yet ye will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring not him to thee. Deliver him unto thy hand, and I will bring him unto thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you. Finally he gives in, and he's very bereaved. And he tells them, take extra fruit, nuts, dates that they have in their area. Take them as gifts to this man, this ruler, this lord. And buy grain. And we read this in the 13th verse of the 43rd chapter. Take also your brother and arise and go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send you away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. He's resigned himself. One way or the other, he's going to die. Either by starvation or with the loss of his sons. And then we read in the 16th verse, and when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of the house, bring these men home, slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. You know, to be accused of spies, threatened with your life practically, and then be brought into the governor of Egypt's house, and Simeon is brought in before them. And then we read in the 24th verse, and the man brought the men unto Joseph's house and gave them water, that they washed their feet. And he gave them asses' provisions, and they made ready the dinner. Oh, can you imagine the joy that was in Joseph's heart? He's looking at all his brothers, not one of them realizing this was Joseph, the one they sold into slavery. He's treating them royally, something they had no idea what was going on. Then Joseph asks about his father. Is he in good health? Is he alive? These are questions that are rather personal. Why are you interested in our father? No doubt this must have gone through their mind. And they answered, thy servant, our father is in good health. And he is yet alive. And they bowed their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eyes and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me? And he said, God be gracious unto thee, my son. You know, it must have taken every ounce of dignity that he possessed being governor of Egypt to stand up before them. to look upon his only full brother, full-blooded brother. I know what this must have been. Have you ever had a relative you never knew you had, only to find out it's your sister's daughter? I have. It's a relationship. I was always sorry I never met my sister. But then Joseph has the meal prepared. They sit down and eat. And they're laughing because all of a sudden, they're joking with their youngest brother. He's got 5 times the amount of food on his plate. And Joseph sees there's no jealousy among them. That jealousy is gone. He doesn't see the jealousy that he saw in his brothers when he was home. That's a thing of the past. Brethren, this is going to be your position and mine if faithful unto death. Right now we are seeing and witnessing the jealousy, the hatred, the pride, everything that's wrong of the human race. The human race is going through a position of life of learning what it means to have this to the full end. But when the Lord stands up for Israel and the resurrection of the dead begins, mankind will learn that which was in the past is in the past. We've got to eliminate the jealousy, the pride, the selfishness that we once had. It's of no value. Joseph still doesn't make himself known. He feeds them. They're thrilled. They get up and go. He puts each man's money in his sack, gives ample provisions for the animals. But he tells his servant, take my silver cup and put it in the youngest man's sack. They get ready and leave in the morning. And they're on the way. Joseph says, go search every man's sack. And the one that has the silver cup, bring him back. They all come back. When they find the silver cup, they all rent their clothes because they knew nothing. They were innocent of this. Then Joseph brings them in again, and we read in the 45th chapter. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, caused every man to go out from him, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians of the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him. They were troubled. And he cries on each one, not one of them asked for forgiveness, but the tears in their eyes answered everything. How many times do I forgive my brother? 7 times? Lord says 70 times 7. But notice here, not one of them asked for forgiveness. They were ready, they were fearful for their lives. Joseph looks upon them, don't blame yourself. Don't condemn yourself. God of heaven did this to preserve life. Then you know what happened. Joseph gave them Egyptian wagons with the Egyptian markings and sent them home to bring their wives, their children, and Joseph's father. And he gave an extra portion of food for Joseph's father to bring Jacob into Egypt. Brethren, then finally, Jacob is in the land. The 49th chapter, he gives the blessing to each of his children, of which you can go over in your mind and read them when you get home. Dear brethren, I pray with you, and remember me in your prayers, that we can be faithful to the end of our course, that we may obtain the crown of life to be able to uplift and bless all mankind. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Leon. Thank you very much for those lessons from the life of Joseph. Well, friends, it's been grand, but we've come to the end of this convention. I have some greetings that I'd like to give from the Columbus, Indiana Ecclesia, Sister Sophia Naminsky and Sister Eunice Liske, asked to be remembered with warm Christian greetings to the convention. Brother Leon had asked that we close with the use of hymn 273. We'll sing that. We'll ask Brother Leon to close the session. Then I would like to sing hymn number 66 in closing. We all look forward to that day when all our trials and all our tribulations are over, and we just look forward to the sweet by and by. And that's what I'd like to close this convention with. So we'll close with Brother Leon's choice of 273. He'll dismiss us with prayer, and then we'll sing in the sweet by and by. Sister? Thank you.
Our most loving, kind Heavenly Father, we thank you for the past 2 days, for the lessons that we were privileged to listen to learn, and help us, dear Lord, to apply them in our daily life. We ask a blessing upon the brethren who put forth this convention at this time. And we ask a blessing upon each family present, that they all have a safe journey home. Be with all thy dear ones wherever they might be. Bless the dear ones who are undergoing special experiences and trials. Bless the dear ones that are not privileged to be with us at this time. Bless and keep them. This we thank you in Jesus' dear name. Amen.